Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
The 23rd Psalm is one of the most well-known Bible passages in history. It is recited most often at funerals and memorial services. But today, I would like to look at it in a different light, as an appropriate Thanksgiving Day scripture. First, I will read the entire psalm the way most of us have heard it, in the original King James. Then, like a Thanksgiving dinner, we will savor it one bite at a time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a great psalm. Here's a list of things that I am grateful for, as found in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you have someone in your life who can call you on the phone, and without them saying their name, you recognize their voice immediately? That's the way it should be with us and our shepherd. I'm thankful for a relationship with the good shepherd. I shall not want. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, why are you worried about clothing? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor, nor do they spin thread for cloth. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? And do not worry then, saying, what are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. I am thankful that he meets all of my needs. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Hebrews 4 says, let us be diligent to enter into that rest. Now it's talking about resting from being saved by works. It is about resting in the grace of God. I am thankful that I am saved by grace and not by works. He leads me beside still waters. Jesus was in a boat with his disciples when a storm developed. They woke him up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I am thankful that Jesus calms my storms. He restores my soul. I have a friend who restores old cars. He can take what looks like a piece of junk that no one wants, and with time and care and expertise, he converts it into a classic piece of beauty. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I am thankful for restoration. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. One of the most profound truths in the Bible is this: He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. A righteous God became a man who took on the sin of unrighteous man in order to make man righteous. That's profound. I am thankful that he makes me righteous. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. We are afraid of a lot of things in life. But one of the universal fears in mankind is the fear of death. People are afraid of death, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. I am thankful that I do not have to fear death. Your rod and your staff comfort me. There are countless causes for our discomfort. Dysfunctional relationships, loss of relationships, loss of health, loss of wealth, failure, and the guilt and shame that it brings. It is an endless list of things that discomfort us. 2 Corinthians opens with these words: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I am so thankful for God's comfort in all of my afflictions. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. This one has two aspects. First, he prepares a table for me. I very recently did a podcast called The Table of the Lord, and it talks about fellowship. Something I am most grateful for is the relationships God has placed in my life. I am certainly thankful for my family, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, and now even a great-grandson. I am thankful for my family, but I am also blessed with good friends. I've often said that if good friends were cash, I'd be richer than Elon Musk. The only things we take out of this life into the next are the relationships God has trusted us with. The second part of the line is, in the presence of my enemies. Now, we all have people in our lives who, for whatever reason, are committed to being adversarial. We are commanded to love our enemies, and that requires grace and the enabling of the Holy Spirit. But the apostle reminds us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Our real enemies are not other people. This line in the psalm tells us the best way to face our enemies is by staying in fellowship with our allies for our own protection. I am thankful for allies in my spiritual warfare. You have anointed my head with oil. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. 1 John says, "As for you, the anointing which you received from 1 John says, "As for you, the anointing which you have received from him remains in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you remain in him." Jesus promised, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of all the things I said to you." I am thankful for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. My cup overflows. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He also said, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Jesus doesn't just give us the bare necessities. He wants your life to overflow with goodness. I am thankful that he gives me more goodness than I even know how to ask for. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. One of the most cherished goodnesses of God is his mercy. Here are just a few reflections on the mercy of God, first from the Old Testament, then from the New Testament. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Who is a God like you who pardons wrongdoing and passes over rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in mercy. Jonah prayed, "That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster." Whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the mercy toward those who fear him. And then in the New Testament, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Mercy triumphs over judgment. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we did in righteousness, but in accordance with his mercy. And finally, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Again, just listen to what the Word of God says. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If that were not so, I would have told you, because I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I am coming again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you also will be. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, Father, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." And in Revelation chapter 21, at the end of the Bible, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among the people, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Asked, wishing all of you a happy Thanksgiving.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.